as well. John chapter 10, and I really want to just focus on Jesus this morning, something he said here in the Gospel of John. So let me join you there. And then I'd like to ask you to join me as we make this confession. The words will be on the screen. And if you're here for the first time today, we welcome you. You're our special guest. And if you agree, we ask you to join us and make this confession with us. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 10, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Some translations say life to the full. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Thank God that he did. And then if you drop down, still Jesus speaking here and carrying on that theme of the good shepherd, we read these words in verse 24. I'm sorry, John chapter 10, verse 24. And it says that the Jews surrounded him, some of them, and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ," that means the Messiah, "if you're really the anointed of God, if you're the promised Messiah who was to come, tell us plainly." And notice what Jesus says in verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe." That was the issue. He said, "You don't believe." And he said, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." If people didn't believe him just for his words, the miracles that he worked should have been enough evidence to convince people. But it really comes back to the heart. And so he goes on, he says this in verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now here is the, if we are really in Christ, we're really a believer and a follower of Jesus. Jesus said it's like this: "I've got you in my hand, and my Father has you in his hand. You're not going anywhere." On our part, we've got you. There's a security in knowing him. But we've got to get in Christ first. We got to make sure. And Jesus, you know, the Bible throughout reveals different ways of life that we can follow. There is a way of righteousness. There is a way of wickedness. There is a way of deceit. And Jesus says this here in, remember he said, "I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly." Then he says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." So if we want the fullness of the life of Jesus right now in this life, and we want eternal life forever, then we must be followers of Jesus. We must become followers of Jesus. And so this morning, like just emphasize this theme based on those words, following Jesus is the way of life. Following Jesus is the way of life. It's the way of life in Jesus right now, and it's the way of eternal life forever with the Lord. And he told us how we need to take that first step. Again, it's a way of living, a way of life. It's the way of life. Not just that it leads to life, it does, but the life starts right now. We don't wait to get to heaven to experience life. We experience life as soon as we receive Jesus as Lord. And the first step in entering that spiritual life is to believe in Jesus as the crucified, sinless, crucified and risen Lord. sinless, crucified, and risen Lord. That's why he told them, if you go back to verse 26, he says, but you do not believe me because you're not my sheep. If we do not believe in Jesus, if we do not believe the testimony of God's word, then we cut ourselves off from the life that Jesus offers. So the first step then, in fact, would you turn to John 14, just over to John chapter 14 and read one verse there? Because if we want to have this life, we have to respond to God's drawing and believe that Jesus really is the sinless Son of God. He really died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, and he really came back to life from the dead, and he's alive right now. And so when I believe in him with my heart, it can't be just, oh yeah, I believe there's a God. There's something different about believing with our heart, because the Bible says in Romans 10, it's with the heart we believe and we're made righteous in God's sight. So Jesus says in John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to God. In spite of what popular opinion may be, all roads do not lead to heaven. All roads do not lead to God any more than dialing all numbers on your phone will lead you to the person you're wanting to speak with. But thank God there is a way. There is a way. And Jesus is the way, and it's open to all. It doesn't matter about our past. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. Doesn't matter our education. Doesn't matter culture, language, or anything else. All that matters is we simply believe in our heart with the faith of a child and receive Jesus as Lord, and we enter the life that begins now and lasts forever. Following Jesus is the way of life. Would you say that with me? Following Jesus is the way of life. But here's the issue. Jesus isn't here. He's in heaven. So how can I follow him when he's not even here? It has to be practical. It has to be livable. Truth isn't just to be learned. It's to be lived. And I want to share this morning, first of all, generally, to follow Jesus means we seek to follow his word and his example. But I want to give three specific ways that I believe right here in John of how we can follow him practically in our daily lives. And I think I can sum it up with just these three words. Fellowship, feed, and focus. Fellowship, feed, and focus. We'll look at each one, but would you say those three words with me? Fellowship, feed, and focus. That's very good, because y'all didn't have that in front of you. At least I don't think. So the first step, and we'll look at it right here in John chapter 14 and verse 15. Again, Jesus is still speaking. So how do we follow Jesus? If following Jesus is the way of life, how do I practically follow Jesus? First, there's fellowship. John 14, 15, Jesus says these words, if you love me, keep my commandments. Some translations say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here's the key to loving the Lord. We must first open our heart to receive his love for us. The real issue is not how much I love God. That's important. But the real issue is how much he loves me and that his love is so great. It's unconditional. It's boundless. And if we will simply believe him and receive it, his love will fill our hearts. Then out of his love for us, the Bible says, we then love him. We love because he first loved us. So we respond in love. And he goes on, he says this in verse 16, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. There's someone who's going to come alongside you to help you in my place because I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. He says, I'll send you another helper that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. Abide with you forever. Here is who he is, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Let me pause there a second. Something's just coming to my mind. You know, truth is not always hard to find, but sometimes it's just hard to receive. Sometimes we just don't want to hear it. But truth is available if we're willing. So he says it'll be the Spirit of truth that who is to come, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. That's really what it's about, a relationship. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and notice, will be in you. And since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in every person who willingly opens their heart to Jesus. Then he says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So when we believe in Jesus as Lord, his Holy Spirit enters our hearts. He indwells us and he helps us follow Jesus. Following Jesus is the way of life. And so we have continual communion. Fellowship speaks of closeness. You know, it's possible to have a relationship with someone like a family member, but not be close. And so we wouldn't say we're in fellowship, but fellowship is closeness. It's like being in harmony and one accord. We're in step together. So to follow Jesus is not just that he's off in heaven. His spirit is in me and I'm in step with him because I'm in obedience to him because he loves me and I want to love him back. And do we stumble and fall short at times? Oh, yeah. But we make it right. We repent. We receive his forgiveness. And we keep walking with him. We stay in that close fellowship. It's a privilege. I've come to realize prayer is a privilege. And we have the privilege of living in continual communion with God as our Heavenly Father, Jesus as our Lord, by his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So thank God for that. Following Jesus is the way of life. We are not alone in this world. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We are not abandoned orphans. His Spirit indwells us, and we can face anything, and we will face everything in this life with his Spirit in us to help us if we just simply trust him. He's here available. Pastor David Wilkerson used to say, don't put the Holy Spirit in the unemployment line of your life. He's available. He's willing. He's willing to help us. Let's believe him and receive his help to walk with him and to stay close to him. Following Jesus, it's the way of life. Following Jesus and fellowship with him, it's close fellowship with him, is how we grow in Christ's likeness. None of us have arrived, have we? So as we fellowship with him, then the Lord works in us and conforms us into the image of his Son. So fellowship with the Lord is how we grow in Christ's likeness. Fellowship with the Lord is how we can receive his grace and his peace. To me, that's priceless. I would rather have the Lord's grace and peace through my life than money. Because if I have money and I can't even enjoy it, what good is it? But God's grace and his peace are available to us, but we've got to be in close fellowship with him to receive it. So fellowship with the Lord is how we grow in Christ's likeness. It's how we receive his grace and his peace. It's in fellowship with the Lord that we have joy in our journey. I believe that the Lord, you know, that's the abundant life Jesus talks about. We can relate in our culture, abundant life means I'm going to retire at 40. I got a yacht and I've got, or whatever. That's not necessarily abundant life. Abundant life is being in God's will and being in fellowship with him and having the joy of just knowing him and walking with him daily. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So God wants us to enjoy the journey. Enjoy being in fellowship with him. Life is going to throw enough mess at us. Let's stay close to the Lord so that we at least have joy in him. And that way our joy is not limited to our circumstances. It's in fellowship with the Lord that we have victory in our temptations. It's in fellowship with the Lord that we have restoration in our failures. It's in fellowship with the Lord that we can receive comfort in our hurts. And it's in fellowship with the Lord that we can receive strength in our weakness. It all flows out of fellowship with him. So fellowship with the Lord, following Jesus, is the way of life. Then second, I feel like I could about park right there on fellowship all day. Because there's so much, that's really what it comes back to. But we got to move on. Would you turn to John 21? Fellowship, feed, and focus. Fellowship, feed, and focus. John chapter 21. And Jesus used an account, or an occasion rather, of a fruitless night of fishing, labored all night, caught nothing, but he used this occasion to restore Peter. Remember, Peter denied him on the night Jesus was arrested. Do you remember how many times he denied Jesus? He denied him three times that he even denied that he knew him. But Jesus restored Peter, and he used this occasion not only to restore Peter, but to teach us an important truth. And the Bible says this in John 21:3. John 21, 3. Then Simon Peter said to them, this is after Jesus died. He had come back to life from the dead. And Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. And some of the other fishermen said, we're going with you. And they went out, and immediately they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Now, isn't that just what you want to hear? You want somebody to ask you after you fished all night, you caught nothing, and you want somebody to welcome you back to shore saying, hey, did y'all get anything? No, we didn't catch a thing. And they didn't recognize him at the time. And so he goes on, and they said no. And then verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it into the boat because of the multitude of fish. They had to actually drag the net behind them because they couldn't pick it up. These several men were strong enough to get all the fish into their little boat. So they had to drag the net behind them and bring it to the shore. It says in verse 9 that as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, notice, full of large fish. These weren't minnows, full of large fish. And it says 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Isn't that something? 153. I've read, different, sometimes people say, well, there's something significant about that. It's like 17 times this or 3 divided by. Can I give y'all my theology on that? These fishermen caught 153 large fish, and they just wanted to say, to let us know, all right? How's that for theology? But when Jesus called these men, do you remember what he told them initially a few years earlier when he started his public ministry? He said, follow me, and I'll make you what? I'll make you fishers of men. See, there's something about following Jesus in close fellowship where he then places his heart and his desires in us. He said, I'll do it. He said, follow me and I'll make you. I'll cause you to become fishers of men. So if you just stay in close fellowship with me, you're going to start caring about people and you're going to want to start seeing them know God and you're going to want to see them follow me and see their sins forgiven too. Doesn't matter how selfish or whatever, how scared. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm typically a quiet person. I still get nervous sometimes to talk to somebody about the Lord. I don't know if any of you can relate. I know you're all just extroverts and all of you just so, But if you ever battle it, I can relate. But you know what helps us to overcome? Love. It's a genuine love for God and a love for that person that we care enough to say, my love is greater than my fear. Worst thing they can say is, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. It's almost like you see a neighbor and their house is on fire and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you look out, you see the roof on fire and you think they're in there asleep. You don't just say, well, I don't want to ring on a doorbell. It's late. It might offend them. I don't want to disturb them. No, you're banging on. You're calling 911. It's in a similar way. We care about people and we care about them not only in life, but we care about them in eternity. And we want them to know the Lord because we really believe Jesus is the way. And he died not only to and came back to life, not only to save us, but to save everyone who's willing to come to him. So we share the Lord's heart and we follow him and he gives us his desires. And when we follow him again, then we want others to know the forgiveness of their sins too. And then would you look at this? I'm relating this to feed because the first step is the fish have to be caught. So we feed our faith first in the Lord. He feeds us. Then we go out and reach others. And then he tells this to Peter. This is still in John 21, verse 14. John 21, 14 says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Whatever the these, more than these other people. Remember, Simon Peter was kind of bragging a little bit. All of them may deny you. They may walk away, but I won't. I'm good, Lord. I'll be with you forever. That was more self-confidence than God confidence, I think. And so he says, Do you love me more than these? Maybe more than the money that would have come from the fish or the catch. I don't know whatever the these is or was. But he said, do you love me more than these? And Peter answered, and he said to the Lord, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus said this in verse 15, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. That's the little sheep, the little children, maybe new believers. Then he goes on, verse 16. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. Then he said to him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Notice that Jesus said, we show our love for him by feeding and tending his flock, by reaching out to his people. What do we feed them, though? What do sheep need to eat, spiritual sheep need to eat? We feed them the inspired word of God, because the word of God is what feeds our faith. It's what gives us strength spiritually. It's what gives us spiritual health and life and vitality. So we share the word of God with anyone who's willing to receive it. And we fellowship together, but that's how we feed. So we not only, you know, it's just about me. We can't be a genuine follower of Jesus in the way he wants us to be and just live for ourselves. To follow Jesus means I'm following Jesus and I want Jesus to use me to reach someone else. I want Jesus to use me to be a blessing to someone else, to comfort, to encourage a fellow believer, whatever the case may be. But every believer, not everyone's a pastor, but every follower of Jesus is called to care for others and serve in some way. The Bible says this. If you want to just stay, I'll close here in John 21. But let me give you this verse in Hebrews 6:10. If you want to write it down, I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. Notice it was toward the Lord's name, but in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's not just that you did in the past. You're continuing to minister to the people of God. And God takes that personally. He said, it's just like you're doing it to me. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So he takes it that way and receives it that way. And I don't know what your particular area of ministry is, but God will use us if we're willing. Here's the main qualification for serving the Lord. Ready? A willing and obedient heart. Now, there's a place for the training for some or schooling, education, and all of that. And I think we should always grow to be effective in ministry. But a willing and obedient heart is what really matters. If we have that, we'll do something to be a blessing to others. And if you've been in church circles for any length of time, you know that ministry can be challenging. Sometimes it's disappointing. Sometimes it's hurtful. But don't give up. Because ministry is also rewarding. Ministry is a blessing. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. And when we do it with the right heart, it does bring blessing to others and to us. When we do it with the right heart, it will produce fruit. It will produce fruit in this life and the life to come, and it will give glory to God if we just step out in faith to do what he says. It's all part of following Jesus. Following Jesus is the way of life. Would you say that with me? Following Jesus is the way of life. And then if you would say these three words with me, fellowship, feed, and focus. Ready? Fellowship, feed, and focus. And then the final one, John chapter 21, verse 18. John 21, verse 18. What does it mean to focus? Jesus is still speaking to Peter, and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Thus he spoke to him, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. What we choose to focus on is very important. We are constantly hit with distractions. We are constantly hit with something to get not only our attention and our focus, it's designed to get our affection and our obedience. That's where the devil is always throwing something at us, that we take our focus off the Lord, that we put it on whatever else or anything else, because that's the direction he wants to draw us in. So Jesus tells him, this is how you're going to die. And history tells us that Peter was crucified also. It actually says he was crucified upside down. He didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. But that's when he said, they're going to stretch you out, carry where you don't want to go. He was talking about the death, but he said, don't worry about that. Just follow me. I'll take care of it from there. So we focus on the Lord, because what we focus on tends to grow, doesn't it? And if we focus on sin, it will lead us to sin. But if we focus on Jesus, it will lead us to Jesus. If we focus on what's hurtful and negative, it will consume us and drain us. I'm telling you, it will drain us spiritually. It'll drain us emotionally, mentally, and physically. If we just focus on somebody, you know, this and that and whatever else went wrong. But if we choose to focus on the blessings of God, if we choose to focus on his love and his goodness and his blessings, it will be encouraging and empowering, and we make the choice of what we focus on. Man, there's always a battle for our focus, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Thank God, but we can choose our focus. We can focus on God. We can focus on his goodness. That's one of the reasons I believe even worship and fellowship is so important. It helps me get my focus back. When we come in and we, you know, celebrate Jesus and I have resurrection power, it does something to me that I need to get my focus on the Lord, get me tuned back up with his will, and even energize me and strengthen me in the presence of the Lord. So it's getting our focus back onto him to empower us. And I'll close with this. Matthew, in fact, I need to keep reading. Let me finish those last couple of verses here. Verse 20, because this is why I thought about the focus. Then Peter turned around and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That was John, who wrote this book, who also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Peter, you follow me. I'm restoring you. Just feed my sheep. I'm not hanging it over your head. You denied me three times, so I'll restore you three times. Every time you fall, I got a restoration waiting on you. And I'm not giving up on you. I'm not kicking you out of the family. I'll still use you if you just follow me. You follow me. And he said, but I'm going to die this way. So Peter said, but what about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus redirected his focus. Look at how he worded it here. He says in verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And I felt like, even I was studying, preparing for this, I wonder if the Lord was, I'm sure he says it to me sometime. Maybe he says it to you. What is that to you? but this person, what is that to you? You follow me. But this minister, this pastor, what is that to you? Pray for them, but you follow me. Don't get so distracted and put your focus on what's going to discourage you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let us run with endurance the race set before us. So to stay in the way of life, I've got to keep focusing back on Jesus. What is that to you? I don't know what your that is. But would Jesus say to you this morning, what is that to you? Just you follow me. You put your focus on me. You follow me and then trust me and we'll stay in this together. Fellowship, feed, and focus. Let me give you two last verses. If you want to just write them down, I'll turn to them. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. The Bible says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Isn't that a paradox? If we really want life, we have to be willing to die to ourselves, deny ourselves. That's what it really means. Now, we don't have, I know sometimes people may have jewelry, but we don't have a physical cross to carry in our day. But here's a very practical cross that I've learned. Here's God's will on an issue. and here's mine. Just like Jesus, who was willing to say, Father, if there's any other way that I don't have to drink this cup, that I don't have to go to the cross and people can still be forgiven, they can still be reached and redeemed, if there's any other way, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm willing to do it for you. I'm willing to do it out of love for them. And so here's how we pick up our cross. Yeah, but I want to sin. I really want to do this. I want to get even. I want to, that looks good. That's fun. But yet God's will is this way and mine is this way. Here's how we take up our cross. Lord, that's what I want, but not my will, yours will, your will be done. That's practically living it out, taking up our cross and following Jesus. And it is the path that leads to fullness of joy and fullness of life because we're at peace with God. Following Jesus is the way of life. Before Peter denied Jesus, we read these words. He followed Jesus at a distance. Now, I know that means physical. He was a distance away. But doesn't it represent spiritual? That if we follow Jesus, in fact, just you think about this. How close are you following the Lord right now? Are you following at a distance? Is there anything between the heart of God and your heart? Because if there is, then would you come back right now and come back and get into that close fellowship with the Lord? And just think about it. Are you in close fellowship with Jesus right now? And just to begin to come, just focus on Him again. In fact, I would even ask like this. If we're living in close fellowship with the Lord, then who can you bless with God's word? Who can you share the good news with? Somebody in your path. Pray and just be willing. Again, stay close to the Lord. He'll use us. We won't lead every person to the Lord. That's not our part. Our part is to plant and water, and God will give the increase. So who can you bless with God's word? And then just think about it. What have you been focusing on lately? Have you been focusing on something that's just negative, hurtful, maybe even sinful? I don't know that, but I would like to ask, will you focus now on Jesus? Will you get your focus back to Him? So wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, maybe you've never taken that first step to believe in your heart and receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. He is our Lord and our God. And maybe you have walked with the Lord and you do know Him, but there's been a distance and you're like Peter and you've allowed something to come between and you know you're not exactly right and you're not fullness of peace. Today, would you just step toward Him? All you have to do is just be willing to turn to Him and focus, to just focus on Him, focus on His goodness, His love and His blessings, and then receive His forgiveness, restoration, and mercy and walk with Him with fullness of joy. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Following Jesus is the way of life. So where are you today in fellowship, maybe feeding and or focusing on someone? I'd like to just pray for you. And Father, I just come before right now and asking that you would have the freedom to search our heart and search our mind, our will. And wherever we are, we need you to draw us. So Lord, draw us to your heart. Draw us to obedience. Draw us to refocus today back on you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful. And just even right there, I just sensed this morning that even before the service or last night, just that I believe the Lord wants to draw us back, if we need it, to a personal revival. A personal revival. I want revival, certainly in the church and the land, but I know it needs to start with me. That there would be an outpouring, a reviving, a renewing of my own walk and passion for the Lord, and that He could use me then to be a blessing to reach others. If today, maybe you would just say, Brother Rocky, pray for me. I want a closer walk with the Lord, just a closer walk with Him. I want the Lord to revive me in this area. I need to refocus on my Savior and walk close to Him. If that's your heart's desire today, would you lift up your hand and let me pray for you right there where you are? Would you hold your hands up just for a moment? I just want to recognize you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. Can we stand together and let's go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, I just want to say thank you that you are moving. You are speaking to people's hearts. That's all about you and it's for your glory. And Lord, I also want to thank you for our brothers and sisters here and their heart to respond to your call. Lord, I'm thankful. I pray that you would just encourage them, bless them. Lord, help us. You know, let your strength be revealed in our weakness. You know our tendency to lose focus sometimes, to get discouraged and whatever else. Lord, help us just to stay close. Help us to refocus this morning. And then help us to walk in joyful communion and fellowship with you, and use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we sing this little...